بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of the collection of hadiths in Imam al-Nawawi's collection known as the 40 Nawawi collection of hadiths. And we have reached hadith number 23, which is on the authority of Abi Malik al-Harith bin Asim al-Ash'ari, may Allah be pleased with him, who said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "At-tuhuru shatrul iman," purity is half of faith, "walhamdulillah tamla'ul mizan," and "alhamdulillah," praise be due to Allah, or praise be to Allah, fills the scales, "wasubhanallah walhamdulillah tamla'ani aw tamla'u ma bayna as-sama'i wal-ard," and "subhanallah," how far is Allah from every imperfection, and "alhamdulillah," praise be to Allah, fill that which is between heaven and earth, "was-salatu nur," and the prayer is light, "was-sadaqatu burhan," and charity is a proof, "was-sabru diya," and patience is illumination, "wal-Qur'anu hujjatun laka aw alayk," and the Qur'an is an argument for or against you, "kullu nasi yagdu fabai'un nafsahu famu'tiquha aw mubiquha," everyone starts his day and is a vendor of his soul, either freeing it or bringing about its ruin. This hadith was related by Imam Muslim. The explanation: At-tuhur shatrul iman, meaning purity is half of faith. That is because faith is tahliya, which means leaving, and tahliya, and bringing about. What does this really mean? Leaving, tahliya, takes place by at-tuhur, by the purity, by the purification. And tahliya, bringing about, by doing the act of obedience. And now we understand why purity is half of faith, because al-iman is either acting or leaving, relinquishing. And leaving or relinquishing is tatahur, is purification. And acting is bringing about, making to occur, meaning from the acts of worship. So, in this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that purity is half of faith, it is said in this meaning that leaving and abandoning shirk, this is the leaving or abandoning, is abandoning of shirk, because the shirk is najasa, impurity. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning the mushriks in chapter 9 verse 28, "إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجَسْ," as in Surah At-Tawbah verse 28, "Verily the mushriks," the polytheists, the pagans, idolaters, disbelievers, "are najas," impure. And that's why purity is half of faith. This is one meaning. The second meaning is that the purification for Salah is half of Iman, is half of faith. Because Salah is Iman, is faith. And it cannot be completed except with purification. However, the first meaning is more general and better, more fitting. Then the next statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the hadith, وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ تَمْلَأُ الْمِيزَانِ, meaning the person when he says Alhamdulillah, then this fills the scale, the scales measuring the deeds. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 47, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. And we shall set up balances of justice on the day of resurrection. Then none will be dealt with unjustly in anything, and if there were, or and if there be the weight of a mustard seed, we will bring it, and sufficient are we as reckoners. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah fills the scale. And then when the person says wa subhanallah walhamdulillah tamla'an aw tamla subhanallah, what does it mean subhanallah? It means far is Allah removed from all imperfection. And Alhamdulillah means praise be to Allah. Fills that which is between the heaven and the earth. The term Subhanallah walhamdulillah involves or comprises negation and affirmation. Negation and affirmation. The negation is in the saying Subhanallah, meaning glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above every imperfection. And this glorification covers three matters. This glorification, this tanzih, covers three matters. Number one, the any attribute of imperfection, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not described by it. Second, it negates any imperfection in His perfection subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning Allah's perfection cannot have any kind of defect. And the third is negating likeness to the created. Negating likeness to the created. So Allah is far removed above these three matters. Attributing imperfection to His attributes, or any imperfection in His perfection, or any likeness to the creation. And the evidence for the first one is in the saying of Allah, meaning negating any attribute of imperfection, is in the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Furqan in chapter 25 verse 58. قال الله تعالى وتوكل على الحي الذي لا يموت, negating death, meaning death is it is not a, it is a negative attribute, it is a defect rather. imperfection. It's not attributable to Allah. So we cannot describe Allah by this. قال الله تعالى, and put your trust, وتوكل على الحي الذي لا يموت, and put your trust in the ever living one who does not die, who dies not, and glorify his praises, and sufficient is he as the all knower of the sins of his slaves. Also like in the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah in 2:255, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negates slumber or sleep, and sleep meaning neither slumber nor sleep overtake him. So sleep and slumber cannot be attributed to Allah as attributes of his, of himself. So here we are declaring that Allah is far above such imperfection in his in the attributes. The evidence for the second one is قوله تعالى is in قوله تعالى and is Allah saying in Surah Qaf chapter 50 verse 38, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. And indeed, we created the heavens and the earth and all between them in 6 days, and nothing of fatigue touched us. So creating all this magnificent creation, lest anyone thinks that after all of this great magnificent creation, lest anyone think that there is some deficiency after creating this great universe, Allah immediately negated this by saying, and nothing of fatigue touched us. And another evidence, is in the saying of Allah, for another evidence for the third one, which is negating likeness to the creation. This evidence is in Surah Ash-Shura chapter 42 verse 11, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, nothing is like unto Allah, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and he is the all-hearer, all-seer. Now if someone says, resemblance to the creation is imperfection, so it doesn't really require even to be mentioned, because it is known that likening the perfect with the imperfect makes the perfect imperfect. Just like the saying of the poet when he said, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ السَّيْفَ يَنْقُصُ قَدْرُهُ إِذَا قِيلَ إِنَّ السَّيْفَ أَمْضَى مِنَ الْعَصَى. Don't you see that the sword, its rank will diminish if it is said that the sword is sharper than the stick. It's sharper than the stick. So if you compare it to the stick, you will diminish its rank, because really it is sharper than the stick. So when you say it is sharper than the stick now, it means that this sword is not good. It's a bad one, because you compared it to a stick. However, in this case we say, the negation of resemblance is because, number one, it came in the Quran. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said earlier here, we mentioned this in 42:11, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like unto him. The second, making resemblance of the perfect to the imperfect makes it imperfect, or making likeness of the imperfect, likening the perfect to the imperfect makes it imperfect. And remember, we are saying here tamthil, likening, and this is more proper than saying tashbih, resemblance, because tamthil, this is what came in the Quran, laysa kamithlihi, nothing is like unto him. So we go with the proper wording and we say laysa kamithlihi, so we negate the tamthil, the likening. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, walhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. This hamd, this praising, is because of the perfect attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamd really means describing the praised with perfection, with glorification and magnification and love. So this is the meaning of alhamd. وصف المحمود بالكمال مع المحبة والتعظيم. Praising or describing the praised one with perfection together with love and magnification. So therefore this statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, سبحان الله والحمد لله, it contains negation of imperfection, covering the three types of negation which we mentioned, and affirmation of his perfection, وَإِثْبَاتُ الْكَمَالِ. And the Prophet ﷺ said about Subhanallah walhamdulillah that they fill that which is between the heaven and the earth. And that which is between the heaven and the earth, this is a distance only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the apparent understanding from the hadith is that such a praise and such negation of imperfection by saying subhanallah walhamdulillah, it fills that between the heavens and the earth, not in your area, not in your district, not in your place alone, but rather in all places. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, was salatu nur, as salah, the prayers, this covers the obligatory and the nafil prayers, the fard and the nafil. Nur, light on the heart, light on the face, light in the grave, light on the day of gathering, because the hadith is general. And try and you will see that it is a light. If you really pray the true prayers whereby your heart is present and your body parts are tranquil, you will feel that your heart is enlightened and you will enjoy it greatly. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ, the comfort of my eye has been made in salah. And then الصَّدَقَةِ, As-sadaqatu burhan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and the charity is a proof. As-sadaqa is giving wealth to the needy as a means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This sadaqa, this charity, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described it as burhan, proof, meaning a proof for the true faith of the person giving the sadaqa. And this is from the angle that wealth is beloved to the self, and that which is beloved is offered, given only to attain that which is more beloved. And this indicates or reflects the proves the iman, the faith of the charity giver. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ called it a proof. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, patience is illumination. Patience is illumination. Patience, as-sabr, is refraining the self from that where enduring and forbearing is required. The people of ilm classified, the people of knowledge classified as-sabr into three types. First, sabrun an ma'siyati Allah, patience upon avoiding that which Allah has forbidden. Sabrun an ma'siyati Allah, patience upon avoiding that which Allah has forbidden. Meaning, you refrain yourself so that you don't indulge in that which is forbidden. Even though the call or the temptation is there. Example, someone thinks to commit zina, adultery. We seek refuge in Allah from this. But he refrains himself. So we say this is the first time. هذا صبر عن معصية الله. This is patience upon avoiding that which Allah has forbidden. This is like what occurred to Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam with the wife of Al-Aziz in Egypt. The wife of the Al-Aziz called him to herself, meaning to commit illegal sexual intercourse, wal'iyadu billah, with her. And she was in a state most fitting for seduction. In a state most fitting for seduction, because she closed the doors, as we read in Surah Yusuf in 12:23. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. And she in whose house he was sought to seduce him to do the evil act. وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ. She closed the doors and said, come on, O you. What did he say? He عليه السلام said, قال معاد الله, I seek refuge in Allah, or Allah forbid. إنه ربي أحسن مثواي إنه لا يفلح الظالمون. Truly he, your husband, is my master. He made my living in a great comfort. إنه لا يفلح الظالمون. So I will never betray him. Verily the wrong and evil doers will never be successful. Meaning, so if I cheat him and betray him concerning his wife, then I am a zalim, a wrong and evil doer. And because of her intensive insistence, then indeed she did desire him, hammat bihi wa hamma biha, and he would have inclined to her desire, but he refrained. Although the call was intense, and there is nothing to prevent it, no impediment. So this type is sabrun ala aw sabrun an ma'siyatillah. This is patience upon avoiding that which Allah has forbidden. Patience upon avoiding that which Allah has forbidden. Similarly, in the case where the Prophet ﷺ informed about the seven whom Allah will shade in His shade, when there is no shade except His, and He mentioned from them a man who was called by a woman to commit the illegal sexual intercourse, and she was a woman of high rank and beauty. What did he say? He said, "Inni akhafullah." I fear Allah. This is sabr. This is patience. Patience upon avoiding that which Allah has forbidden. Patience upon avoiding that which Allah has forbidden. The second type of patience is sabrun ala ta'atillah. Patience upon obedience. Patience upon obedience of Allah. And this means the person trains himself on the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is like a man who wants to pray, but he is called by himself. His self invites him to be lazy, or to go to bed, or to the food where he is not in need of it really, or to talk to some of his companions. However, he made it binding upon himself to execute the salah. In this case, he is patient upon obedience, and this is patience upon obedience. The third type of patience is sabrun ala aqdarillah. Patience with regard to the decrees of Allah which He puts into effect. Sabrun ala aqdarillah. Patience with regard to the decrees of Allah which He puts into effect. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordains and decrees regarding His slave that which may not be suitable or fitting His nature, and may also decree that which is fitting with His nature. And that which is not fitting requires patience. So therefore, he will refrain himself from any type of discontent, whether in the heart or on the tongue or in action, whenever a calamity may befall him. So if a calamity or a trial or affliction befalls the slave, then he refrains his heart from any kind of discontent. And then he will say only that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and concerning any type of discontent on the tongue, he refrains himself from calling for destruction upon him to befall him or the like, as the people of ignorance used to say. And as to his actions, he refrains himself from any type of discontent, like tearing off his clothes, or beating his head, or striking his cheeks, beating himself, or the like. This is discontent by form of action. The believer who is patient on the decrees of Allah refrains himself from this type of discontent by action or by tongue or by the heart. And there is a rank higher than the rank of patience, and that is content with the decrees of Allah. Being content with the decrees of Allah. And this is more perfect than being patient with regard to the decrees of Allah. And the difference between the two is that the patient one feels the pain in his heart, and he may be grieved, and he may have a broken heart, but he refrains himself from committing the forbidden or the prohibited. However, the one who is content, his heart follows and submits to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore he is content with whatever Allah chose for him, and he's not bothered. He goes along with the decree positively or negatively, whichever it is, which may be a calamity or an affliction. And that's why the people of ilm said, إِنَّ الرِّضَىٰ أَعْلَى حَالَ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ. Content is a degree higher than patience. And they said that patience is an obligation, and rida is mustahab, and content is something recommended. Now, which of the three types of sabr is the best? As with regard to being patience, or as regard to patience in itself, then the best is patience upon obedience. Patience upon obedience to Allah. Because obedience, there is a refrainment for the self, and also exhaustion and fatigue to the body. Then second in rank is patience on upon avoiding that which Allah has forbidden. Patience upon avoiding that which Allah has forbidden. Because this is a refrainment of the self from the sin. Then being patient, then the third rank is being patient on the decrees. Because with respect to the decrees, no one has a choice. Either you be patient, the patience of the honorable one, or you be like the cattle seeking distraction or diversion and try to forget the calamity. This is as regard to patience. Now, as regard to the patient one, sometimes what goes on with the suffering from, or the suffering in the case of patience upon avoiding that which Allah has forbidden, is more intense from that patience upon obedience. For example, if someone is someone may have access to drink an intoxicant, for example. And even maybe he may be called to that, and he desires it. And he feels mu'ana min adam ishrub, suffers from not drinking. In this case, this would be harder on him than offering two prayers or two rak'ah. There is no doubt that it is harder on him than offering two rak'ah, meaning offering obedience and being patient on that. Similarly, if he is a young man and a woman calls him to herself to have illegal sexual intercourse with her, and she is beautiful and there is no one, the place is, quote, fitting, and all things are met to conclude this evil act, but he refuses. This is difficult, and it's more difficult than praying 20 rak'ah. This is more difficult than praying 20 rak'ah. So in this case we say the reward on such patience, avoiding the disobedience, is greater than the reward resulting from being patient upon obedience, because of what the person goes from, the difficulty and the suffering he may encounter, and he will be rewarded accordingly with its intensity, in accordance with this intensity of hardship and suffering. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, was sabru diya, and patience is illumination. Patience is illumination. Here he did not say patience is light. And with respect to the salah, he said as-salatu nur, prayer is light. Why? Because in the diya, the illumination or the shining, there is harara, there is heat. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the sun in Surah Yunus in 10 verse 5. قال الله تعالى جعل الشمس ضياء. جعل الشمس ضياء. There is heat therein. In this shining, there is heat. Heat energy. And patience, in patience there is heat and bitterness. There is heat and bitterness, because it's difficult upon the man. And that's why he described the salah as light, and the sabr, the patience, as diya, shining or illumination, because of the difficulty and the suffering that takes place with it. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the Quran. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the Quran, and he said, the Quran is an argument for or against you. The Quran is an argument for or against you. Al-Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's the word of Allah brought down by Jibreel, the trustworthy one, the strong, upon the heart of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, from Allah the Most High. There is nothing of any type of modification or the like therein. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Jibreel alayhi salam, who was the messenger of Allah to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that he is Qawiyyun Amin. As in Surah Al-Takwir 81, verses 19-21, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ ذِي قُوَّةٍ عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ مَكِينٍ مُطَاعٍ ثَمَّ أَمِينٍ. Verily, this is the word, this Quran brought by a most honorable messenger, Jibreel, from Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He described him as ذِي قُوَّةٍ عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ مَكِينٍ, owner of power and high rank with Allah, the Lord of the throne. مُطَاعٍ ثَمَّ أَمِينٍ, obeyed by the angels in heaven. Trustworthy there in heaven. Allah described him as such, trustworthy and Aminun, trustworthy there, and trustworthy concerning the Quran, and owner of power, Qawi also, to preserve it and to safeguard it from any kind of modification or and to be kept from any kind of fraudulency. For he does not act fraudulently. Trustworthy, high in rank, owner of power. All fit to preserve the Quran. This Quran is the true word of Allah. Allah spoke it really, truly. And Jibreel heard it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and brought it down on the heart of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This Quran is the word of Allah. Letter and meaning. Letter and meaning. So the command, the prohibition, the news, the narrations, all are kalamullah, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his word. And Allah has mentioned it after he made a great oath, as in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, chapter 56, verses 75-76. قال الله تعالى فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ. So I swear by the mawaqi' setting or the mansions of the stars they traverse, a great oath. And verily, that is indeed a great oath. If you but know, it means you should know. You know, as like إِنَّ هَذَا لَوْ تَدْرِي شَيْءٌ كَبِيرٌ. If I tell you, this is really a great matter. This is the meaning. That you should know that this is a great matter. إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ عَظِيمٌ. 77. This statement, this oath, and its greatness came before 77. إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ. The verse 77, that this is indeed an honorable recital. An honorable recital. And that it is, as in 78, في كتاب مكنون, well guarded with Allah, in heavens, in اللوح المحفوظ, in the preserved tablet. لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. Meaning none in 79 touches this book, guarded book, except Al-Mutahharun, the purified ones, the angels. So the subject here does not relate to the Quran or to the Mus'haf, the copies. Meaning the book well guarded in the heavens, none can touch but the purified, the angels. Now, this book being well guarded in the preserved in heaven, in Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz, does it really mean that the entire Quran is written in the preserved tablet? Or this refers only to the mention of the Quran, meaning what is written in the preserved tablet is its mention, and that it will be sent down and then such and such will take place and such will take place? The answer is the first, meaning the Quran, the book, is in the Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz, meaning the well-guarded book is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in heaven. That is Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz. There remains, however, the question as, كيف يكتب? How come it is written before creating the heavens and the earth, 50,000 years before creating the heavens and the earth, while it contains statements referring to executions of some matters, like, for example, in the case of Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 121, وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ. And remember when you left your household in the morning to post the believers at their stations for the Battle of Uhud. And like in Surah Al-Mujadilah 58, verse 1, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ. Indeed, Allah has heard the statement of her, meaning Khawla bin Sa'laba, that disputes with you concerning her husband and complains to Allah. So, while when it was written before 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth, he did not hear her saying, because this Mujadila, this woman, was not created then. Was not created for her argument to be heard. So how can we understand this? The answer is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew this. He knew all of that. Of all of these occurrences. And he wrote that in the preserved tablet. Similarly, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew all the ordinances. And he wrote that in the preserved tablet. And whenever they will come, whatever what he ordained is to occur, Allah then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَتَكَلَّمْ بِقَوْلِهِ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ. He says, be and it will be. He says, be and it will be. And it will occur. This is what is established by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And this is the thing which the self will feel satisfied and comfortable towards. And the Shaykh rahimahullah here said, وَكُنْتُ قَبْلًا أَقُولُ, and I used to say before this, that what is in the preserved tablet is the mentioning of the Quran, but not the Quran. Because of the statements of the execution of these occurrences before their actual occurrence. And this is like the saying of Allah about the Quran in Surah Al-Shu'ara 26:196, وَإِنَّهُ لَفِي زُبُرِ الْأَوَّلِينَ. I used to, meaning the Shaykh was used to cite this verse, and verily it, meaning the Quran, is announced in the scriptures of former people. And what is in the scriptures of the former people is not the Quran, but it is mentioned, but it's mentioned rather. However, the Shaykh said, بعد أن اطلعت على كلام شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية جزاه الله خيرا, after I had seen the statements of شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية, may Allah reward him, my breast opened to the conclusion that the Quran is written in the preserved tablet, and there is nothing to prevent this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon sending it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he speaks, وَيُلْقِيهِ إِلَى جِبْرِيلٍ. He speaks the Quran and he speaks it to Jibreel alayhi salam, and Jibreel receives it from him and brings it down upon the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the saying of the Salaf and the people of the Sunnah regarding the Quran. As to the saying of Ahl al-Bid'ah, the people of innovation, then inshallah ta'ala we'll continue concerning that point in the second half of this discussion tomorrow inshallah ta'ala, and we will talk about the benefits of this hadith. Walhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.